been here every night. So I appreciate so much, very much, this opportunity. I've just got some of my lessons ready, and so when I go to Arkansas this weekend, I'll just let them pick out which sermon they want. I'm ready. I've practiced it already. And for your information, Monday night, Tuesday night, and tonight, this is the first time I'm preaching these lessons. A lot of preachers, they work up their lesson, they get a good one, and they hang on to it and use that in their meetings. For some reason, I just basically put these together, and they have worked out pretty well, in my opinion. And this tonight's lesson, as I was studying it today, it really impressed me of the fact that how much it coincides with yesterday's lesson, the fact of declaring the Word of God. And we will hear that word many times in our study this evening. But let's look at this concept of praising the Lord. I know about a month and a half ago, Jimmy asked us that question, do we praise the Lord enough? And it's something we should consider because in technicality, in reality, that is our job as Christians, to offer the Lord praise, to give Him adoration, to sing His praises among others, to tell others about His praises and why He deserves that praise. And so we're going to look at those this evening. The word praise in the Old Testament comes from the Hebrew word halal. And we've heard that usually sometime before. There's different there's a halal music company and other groups called halal music. And it's basically translated praise. But it also carries many ideas with it. In Strong's, number 1984, it says to be bright. In other words, to brighten things up, to the splendor you can just imagine there. To shine, to be splendid, to boast, to praise, to celebrate, glorify, to cause to shine, to make bright, to give light, to deserve praise. Radiance and brilliance. This is what we need to think about as we realize the greatness of God. We remember the picture from the book of Revelation, how the Lord sat upon His throne. And then, of course, they had the 24 thrones around it and the other thrones set right there in the midst where the Lamb would sit. And it says the radiance and His glory will basically give light to all of heaven. And we need to think of that as radiance and brilliance. We sometimes put that in our minds by thinking maybe of a movie where you have something up there and the special effects have it all lit up, all bright and shiny, and just something to be desired, something so very beautiful. If we were to take this word and put it into today's language where people could understand, it would be totally awesome. That's probably the best words we can come up to describe our God. Totally awesome in all ways, in all things. As we look in the scriptures, in the Old Testament, the word praise is found in 125 verses in the book of Psalms. Don't worry, I'm not going to quote them all. And in 59 other verses of the Old Testament, this word is praise. Of all the uses of the word praise, there's only about four instances when it is not, when this praise is not directed towards God. Sometimes you praise the leader or somebody for doing something good. So there's only four of those cases. There's about eight times when God expresses His praise towards us. Those who are obedient, they receive His praise. But in all those verses, all these, the rest of the time, when this word halal is used, it basically is directed towards God. And that's something we need to consider. When we get to the New Testament, we'll notice that there's these various variations. Excuse me. All right, let's get started. In Psalm 7, verse 17, it says, I will praise the Lord according to His righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. This is something we're going to do. We're going to praise the Lord. Why? Because of His righteousness. And from our perspective, the righteousness that He has taught us about in His Word, that we know that when we do that righteousness, we will be pleasing to Him. But we also understand when we do this righteousness, He will be pleased. He will be happy. He will be glorified by our very actions, by the actions that we put forth. God's name is going to be glorified, and that's why we will sing praises to his name. In Psalm 9:1, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell you of all your marvelous works. You know, there's a lot of people going around nowadays, and we see it on TV, especially certain channels, when someone says something, praise the Lord. You know what I'm talking about. This guy says, well, I dropped a can of beans. Praise the Lord, somebody says. And it just kind of gets to the point of ridiculous. And the problem is, it's just an expression that they use, and it's not really coming from the heart. It's just one of those phrases. Well, everybody will think I'm religious if I say praise the Lord. And so a lot of people will do that. But we are to praise the Lord with our whole heart. And that doesn't mean half-heartedly. We know that phrase, not giving your full effort into it. We are to praise God in all things. We are to praise God when we rise up in the morning, when we go lay our head down at night, when we walk by the wayside, when we travel. We are to praise the Lord all the time. We need to constantly be remembering his presence and his guidance and his protection. We need to remember those things all the time. And then what will we do? Once we praise him with all our hearts, we're going to take the time to tell of all your marvelous works. That word tell is the same word we were concentrating upon last night. To declare, to make known the marvelous works of God. What has God done? He created the heavens and the earth. He gave us this life. He made this world and so fragile, but yet so very simply put together that if the sun was 1,000 miles closer, we couldn't survive. If the sun was 1,000 miles farther away, we would die because it'd be too cold. It's just amazing how everything is worked out perfectly for us. And God did it for us. In verse 2, it says, I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Singing praise. Singing. There's that declaration, making known in the various ways. In verse 14, that I may tell of all your praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion, I will rejoice in your salvation. If we're going to talk about the great things God has done, we would be doing a disservice if we didn't talk about salvation. We have to recognize that salvation comes from God. God is the one who planned it for us, and he made it available to us. And those of us who obey, as we studied Sunday morning, those of us who obey his word are going to receive that salvation. And because of that, we need to give him praise for this. And that's one thing that we will praise him about. And we need to tell that praise. I'm so happy I am saved. Let me share that with somebody. And that's what we talked about last night, sharing this information with others. In Psalm 21:13, be exalted, O Lord, in your own strength. We will sing and praise your power. God has all power. He is very mighty and powerful. Mighty is the Lord, as there is a song in our songbook says, Mighty is the Lord. It's a beautiful song, and it's one where we sing praise to his power. Give him adoration. We could just as easily insert the word glorify. We will glorify your power. We will exalt your power. Anything of that magnitude whereby we express an awe and a just that sense of deep down reverential respect, any of those words could be used in this case. Psalm 22:22 says, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. This is something like we studied last night, and very similar language. I will praise you. This is what I am going to do. Just like we're doing to now, I am going to come to church. I am going to tell my brethren about what God has done for me, and I will offer praise to Almighty God. God is worthy to be praised, and we should be doing that as we come together in our assemblies. We need to be praising God. Sometimes we just get in, okay, we sing three songs, have a prayer, we have a sermon, we do the Lord's Supper, and you know, sometimes we go through the motions, and you just have to ask yourself, now, where in that did I praise God? Of course, many of our songs are written so that we do that. So if we sing a certain song, then, okay, we've accomplished that part. It shouldn't be that way. It should be, our heart's got to be dedicated when we come to this place to praise Him in whatever way that we can. Verse 23, you who fear the Lord, praise Him, all you descendants of Jacob, glorify Him, and fear Him, all you offspring of Israel. Yes, those who praise, who fear the Lord, and this is talking about the believers, those of us who are members of His body, of Christ, then we are to praise the Lord. And then we need to take that further and glorify Him and fear Him in reverential obedience. In verse 26, the poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek Him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. Those who seek Him. And He says He's easily found there. And Jeremiah says, I'll be here when you call. And Isaiah, seek the Lord while He may be found, while He is near. God is there. As we continue, Psalm 30, verse 4, sing praise to the Lord, you saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name. God's name we need to hold in reverence. Whenever we speak the name of God, we need to make sure we're using it in reverential terms. His name is reverend. Holy and reverend is His name, Psalm 111, verse 9. And so, as we even speak the name of God, we've got to hold it in reverence. And we've got to be very careful, because we know our co-workers, our neighbors, our supposed friends, they're taking His name in vain. They're using all sorts of vernacular to say and use His name in different ways that just really is not respectful at all. And we need to put a stop to that. If they're around us in our presence, we're not going to listen to that. If that means we have to get away from there, so be it. We do what we have to do so that we don't have to put up with such as that. We need to stand up for God in that case, like we talked about last night. In Psalm 30 and verse 12, to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. This is two-part. Basically, this is the words of God. In the first part, that God is going to sing praise to you. He's going to show His appreciation. He's going to show His approval to us. And we, in turn, should give thanks to Him forever. Psalm 33:1, rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful. You ever consider that our singing is beautiful? Well, you might question that sometimes if you were thinking from human perspective. But if you remember in 1 Samuel chapter 16, when Samuel went to go find the son of Jesse to anoint as king, he saw the first one, Eliab, very tall, handsome, rugged looking. He said, surely this is the one the Lord has chosen. God says, don't look at him for his appearance. You look at him like man sees him, and that's by his appearance. But I look upon the heart. When we sing, we have to understand that God is hearing our hearts. Now, we in the audience, we hear our vocal cords, but God is hearing our hearts. So, why don't we just cut loose and sing to the very best of our ability, whether it's pretty or not, because God is going to be hearing our hearts. I remember many years ago, and Fern, you might remember this, back when Oliver was preaching there at Lang Road. We had a fellow by the name of Brother Parmalee and his son Randy came down to visit from Lufkin. They were working down here in Houston for a few weeks. Some of you might remember him. And they couldn't carry a tune to save their life. But they cut loose. And literally, people would get up and move away from them so they couldn't hear. But what really happened, and I realized this years later, is that they started singing, they were cutting out the top of their lungs, and oh, it was so bad. So you know what? Everybody else just stepped it up a notch, and we drowned them out. Never had the singing at Lang Road been so fantastic and great. So sometimes you might question whether you have a gift or something and not even realize you might have a far greater gift. I will always appreciate the Parmalees and their bad singing because it made our worship so much more intense. And that's what we're supposed to do. We are to praise Him. And it is beautiful in the ears of God to hear our praises going up to Him. In Psalm 34 and 1, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Psalm 34 is a beautiful chapter. Last week, I read the whole chapter at the graveside service of a dear friend, Brother Turpin from Madisonville. And it was just something that you think about these words, just concentrate on words. I will bless the Lord at all times. You know how much garbage we involve our minds with all day long? Where are the blessings to God? His praise shall continually be in my mouth. The people we come around and spend time with, they've got to hear the praise of God from our mouth. In Psalm 35:18, I will give you thanks in the great assembly. I will praise you among many people. This takes courage, doesn't it? To share the message of Christ, it takes courage because we're afraid of what people might think of us. We speak and start talking about God. Oh, they're one of them holy rollers. They're one of these Bible beaters. They're one of this or that. And yeah, there's going to be a little bit of persecution arise because of that. But you know what? When we do that, God looks at our actions. He says, attaboy. Way to go. All right. Thumbs up. Whatever terminology you want to use. God does it. When we speak up for God, He is there. He is in the cheering section, and we have to know that. He has given us a great big hurrah. And too many times we have opportunities and we don't react. We don't seize the opportunity. We don't seize the opportunity to tell someone about Christ or why I don't use foul language, why I don't drink, or why I don't do drugs, or why I don't do this or that. We must have that courage to do so. And then in verse 28, and my tongue shall speak of your righteousness and all your praise all the day long. What is it about the Lord's righteousness that is so important? The salvation of souls. No other way to describe it. When people practice God's righteousness, their souls are going to be saved. That's why we need to talk about that. Because our purpose should be to help people be saved, to lead them to the way, let our light shine, to be that guiding light if necessary, to be the words of encouragement to people who come this way. In 42 and verse 11, why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted with me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. There's times we feel depressed. There's times we feel downhearted. We sometimes just want to sit down and cry a river because of some things going on. Sometimes we've lost a loved one and we cry about that. We mourn that. But there's other times the kids are all screaming. You can't find your keys and you just want to sit down and cry. It'd make you feel a lot better. No matter how difficult life can be, we still should take time to praise our God. As we go on, Psalm 45, 17, I will make your name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore, the people shall praise you forever and ever. This fits in with last night's lesson. I will make your name be remembered. In other words, I am going to declare your glories, your excellencies, your praise to all of my generation. Because when I leave this place, I don't want to be hearing those words like we discussed last night. You never mentioned him to me. I don't want to hear that. So we've got to make an effort. The people we come in contact with, let them know where our faith stands, where our trust lies. And it might be an example that they also could follow. Psalm 48:10, according to your name, O God, so is your praise to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is full of righteousness. There's so many things we describe about God. He's a God of truth and love. And we turn around, his hand is full of righteousness. It's a righteousness whereby if we follow and do that righteousness, we will be glorified by him in the end. In Psalm 15:23, whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. This would be one of those verses you probably want to memorize or learn or write down and put it in the front of your book or something. Whoever offers praise glorifies me. Offering praise is giving glory to God. And sometimes the way in which we show our praise just by our simple obedience, the example we set is that type of praise that he will look at. And the result of this, as he says, I will show the salvation of God. Now, when he was writing this in the Old Testament days, of course, the salvation of God basically meant protection from the enemies. Or if you remember in our study about the importance of obedience, remember we talked about the fact that obedience, when we don't get any blessings until we have been obedient. Here's what he's talking about. I'm going to offer the blessings to you. And we looked at many of those. Those in the Old Testament, if they were faithful to the Lord, they would prosper. They would have many children. Their lands would multiply. Their flocks would multiply beyond all reasonable measure. Their crops would be magnificent. If they would just serve the Lord, everything would be beyond their expectation. He gives us the same promise. And it's really a better promise. If we are faithful to the Lord, he will provide heaven for us. And not just a lifetime on this earth of maybe being happy for a few years out of our existence, but we're talking about an eternity of bliss and joy and happiness. That's what he offers us. And sometimes we just have to shake our head when we realize most people don't want to even consider it. That's a real shame. 51:15, O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. Give me the opportunity to speak, and I will tell people about you. That needs to be an attitude we all carry with us all the time. Psalm 57:7, my heart is steadfast, O God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise. Psalm 61:8, so I will praise your name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Our vows to God. Do we make promises to God? You know, we might be one of those kind of like the politicians. They avoid making promises because someone's going to hold them accountable to it. Well, you promised us. Well, yeah, I did. I'm sorry about that. Or some do just basically make promises with the full intention. They're not going to do them. But us, do we ever make commitments to the Lord on a regular basis? You know, back when we walked down the aisle to become a part of Christ in our baptism, we made a commitment at that very moment. I'm going to serve the Lord the rest of my life. Do we say that, those same words, same thought, every day? Sometimes we just get up and go about our business, go through our everyday routine, and it doesn't cross our mind. We need to, on occasion, rededicate ourselves to the Lord, to sanctify ourselves for that purpose. I am going to be serving the Lord the rest of my life. I am going to do that. Because of your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. To think about the loving kindness of God, what can beat it? What can beat it? Nothing in this world. And that's why we should be praising God. Because he has shown us his love. He showed us his love even before we needed it. We didn't deserve it. We realize that. We don't deserve it. But yet he is kind enough and merciful enough to treat us with loving kindness. Now we need to turn around and show our gratitude for that. Psalm 66, sing out the honor of his name, make his praise glorious. Psalm 67, 3 and 5 says, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Psalm 69, 30, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. Here's something we do. We praise him in song. And we have a lot of songs in our songbook that dedicate for that reason. Praise the Lord. Give him praise. Give him glory. Magnify his name. Magnify my master. All of these thoughts. We will magnify him. And the idea of magnify is basically, well, you know what it is. You get a magnifying glass and you move it around, and guess what? The words appear bigger. Are they bigger? No, it's just the appearance. Through the convex lens that's there, it just appears bigger. We've got to take the measurement, the fact that as great as God is, we've got to magnify him. We think he is totally awesome. We've got to somehow get in our minds, he's better than that. He is more glorious than that. Basically, the idea is there is absolutely no way I can come up with the thoughts or the words that will express my admiration and awe I have for him. But I should try. We should all try. 69:34, let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves in them. Remember what we said last night? The heavens declare the glory of God. All of his creation magnifies his name. All of his creation points to him. Even though most of the scientists in the world are trying to find ways to just eliminate God out of the picture altogether. That's why we have evolution being taught, because they don't want to accept God. That's why we have this Big Bang theory where billions of years ago something came to happen, then all of a sudden some chemical mixture got together and got zapped by some sort of lightning or electrical charge, and then creatures started walking out of it. Rather than accept the fact that the Lord God created the heavens and the earth in six literal days, just a little over 6,000 years ago. When people acknowledge the existence of God, they are subject to him. So they deny God, and therefore they think, well, I don't have to be subject to a God. They don't want to be. So that's why we have all these false theories. That's why we have all this being taught in our schools and classes, because they don't want to bow down and submit before God. But the people of God, we have the evidence showing forth. Nature itself declares the glory of God. Psalm 71:8, let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your glory all day long. Do y'all sense the theme that's going along here? You keep seeing the same thoughts repeated. It's something that we all need to do. In verse 14, but I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. Like I say, making that effort. Do more than we have been doing. 74:21, oh, do not let the oppressed return ashamed. Let the poor and needy praise your name. Let everyone praise your name. Now, there's a bunch of poor and needy in our community. who don't praise his name right now. One of the reasons is probably because they don't know his name, other than that pejorative terms of profanity. That's the only thing they know about God. They get so involved in their culture. They get so involved in drugs or something else that they really don't even consider God. They're so involved in self-satisfaction. And that's basically the whole world. The whole world is involved in self-satisfaction, and they don't take time to realize that they are so poor. Even those like Bill Gates and the richest people on the face of this earth, they are poor because they don't have God. We have God. We are his children, and we have blessings beyond compare, and we have wealth beyond compare. We may not be satisfied when we look at our checkbook, but we realize with the blessings he's given to us, we have a magnificent wealth. As we continue, Psalm 99, let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. Psalm 100, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. As we walk into the assembly, praise the Lord. That's what we should be saying. That's the reason we don't say it a lot of time, because like I talked about a little while ago, these people praise the Lord on everything. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, and just keep going, and it gets monotonous. And sometimes we think, well, if I say praise the Lord, they're going to classify me with them folks. But don't feel that way. When we are here, when we hear something good, we had someone respond Sunday morning down the aisle, praise the Lord for that. It is something we should be thankful for. Psalm 102, we'll notice this very carefully. This will be written for the generation to come, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. Now, I highlighted this verse. The idea, this will be written. This is what we talked about last night, declaring, making known, the writing. This will be written for the generations to come. Not just the generation of those people who lived in the day when it was written, but yet all succeeding generations. They were going to understand this. And then here's a little bit of prophecy, that a people yet to be created. Who is this people yet to be created? Christians. That the Christians will praise the Lord. We look to the Psalms and see all these praises that they're giving to the Lord. And then we look at our worship services. Maybe a few of our songs have that word praise in it, but we don't express it enough. Going on in Psalm 104:33, I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Just like last night we talked about, as long as I live, I will declare his excellencies. So, if we sing praise to God while I have my being, while I'm able, even when we get old and our voices get broken up and torn down, we can still praise God. There's no question about that. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Do we have to find a reason to praise the Lord? We really shouldn't, but yet there's plenty of them to go around. The fact that he is good and his mercy endures. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can declare all his praise? Remember, like we talked about last night, you know, if I wrote it down and filled the ocean with ink and the skies made of parchment, we couldn't tell the whole story. As John said, the whole world could not contain if everything Jesus did was written in detail. The world could not contain it. And they believed his words and they sang his praise, Psalm 106 and verse 12. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting, and let all the people say, Amen, praise the Lord. A lot of times we close our prayers with Amen, which basically we've been taught, well, and thus let it be. It's pretty much what Amen means. thus let it be. But amen and praise the Lord. Something we might consider. I'm not going to take time to read all of these, but these are just full of similar passages as we go down. And really, you sit down, like I said, in the book of Psalms, it's, how many times was it? It was 125 verses in the Psalms that have the word praise. And just about all of them, with just a couple of exceptions, are directed towards God. Now, in the New Testament, Aeneo, giving praise to God. Aenesis, the act of praise. And this is something we have to keep in mind. In the Old Testament, the primary purpose of that word was to give honor to God. As we look in the New Testament, there's only a few verses that really used in that sense, because we have so many other words that are probably more appropriate in the context. The idea that God may be glorified, in all things God may be glorified, that we should give praise and honor to God, is worthy to be praised. But yet, on a lower level, praise is given to humans as compliments. Sometimes this praise comes from God. Sometimes it comes from each other or our fellow man. But we have to be careful how we receive this praise and what we do to get this praise, as we're going to find out. We're going to see this word has several different meanings. In John 12:43, it says, "For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." We've read that before. And we know there's people out there, they're looking for the glory for themselves. They love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Because the praise of men is physical and what they can see. The praise of God is just something that, okay, you have to mentally understand, okay, he's happy with me, so maybe he'll let me go into heaven. When all these people are saying, yeah, you're great, you're good. Problem is, it goes to everybody's head when they accept the praise of men. Remember what he said there on the Sermon on the Mount, "Watch out and be mindful of those who stand in the marketplace and raise up their arms and make long prayers." He says they have their reward. The praises of men is their reward. Romans 2:29 says, "But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is one of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God." Now, in the context of this passage, talking about the person who is faithful to the Lord. Now, he might be described as a Jew basically because of the heritage, Abraham's seed, and we are part of Abraham's seed when we obey the gospel. But this is one that is inwardly. It's not the outward fleshly. Remember we talked the other night, circumcision, uncircumcision mean nothing, but doing right in the sight of God does. Okay, this is what it is. It's in the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, not in the physical, but in the mental. There's where our praise is going to come from God. That's how it's going to affect us. And we really, honestly, you think about it, I'm waiting for that pat on the back from above. I haven't got it yet. And nobody else has either. I'm waiting to hear some rumbling in the voice, "Hey, you're doing a good job down there, keep it up." That's not going to happen. I know that. But yet, we can look at his promises and understand if we are obedient to his word, we're going to get it one of those days. We're going to get that, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But that's going to be after. It's going to be after this life. 1 Corinthians 11:2, several places here. This is all basically talking about man-to-man type praise. "Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I delivered them to you." He's writing to the Corinthians and he's acknowledging, "You guys are praying for me. I appreciate it very much. I thank you for it. I praise you for it. You remember these things and you keep these traditions. Now in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, for the worse." In other words, they were gathering and they were eating the Lord's Supper as a common meal. And they were excluding certain people from the Lord's Supper. And he says, I do not praise you. In other words, this is showing disapproval. He could have said, I don't approve of you. It would have made just as much impact and just as much sense. And then there in 11:22, in the same context, what, do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I will not praise you. So that's how that word is used in those senses. Now, as we continue on, Ephesians 1:6. Notice the phrase, praise of the glory of his grace. To the praise of the glory of his grace, which he has made us accepted in the beloved. This goes back to our Monday night lesson, the blessings in Christ. He has made us acceptable in the beloved. If we are in Christ, we are accepted of God. Peter told Cornelius, in every nation, he that feareth God and worketh righteousness is accepted of him. And of course, we understand and learn that the righteousness of God is basically obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we have that. In Ephesians 1 and verse 12, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. Those Ephesians, he's basically speaking, those of us who were Jews, who had the promise of the Messiah, who we were looking for this Messiah, this Messiah has been realized now in the person of Jesus Christ. We should be standing here ready to give God glory for this Messiah. And then he mentioned the Gentiles. You can also give him that praise. In verse 14, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory? Praise of the glory of God. And how is that accomplished? It's accomplished through our faith in Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. That's what our actions need to be doing as we come together, to worship. We are to be doing so to give praise and glory to God. And then as we gather together, we are to encourage each other to be taking steps to be doing the same thing, to give him praise and glory. And I sometimes listen to that John Hagee over there in San Antonio, the Cornerstone Church. One of his phrases, give him praise and give him glory. Now, sometimes it might be a little empty hearing him say it so very often, but sometimes he stresses that point. Give him praise and give him glory. We should be doing that for what he has done. Hebrews 13:15, therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. This is what the praise of God is, giving him the fruit of our lips. Let our mouths speak, just like we read in the Psalms. His praise shall continually be on my lips. Revelation 19:5, then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all you his servants and those who fear him, both small and great. Yes, we are to give him praise. Now, why should we praise God? It's easy. Because he is God. Plain and simple. He is God. Because he is good. And we had read the passage that said, because you are good. Because of his goodness. Because he deserves praise. Let's face it. He's putting up with us, right? He deserves praise. Because of his justice. Because of his love. He deserves that praise. How do we praise God? With our mouth. With my mouth I will make known his faithfulness. With our singing, glory to God, singing praises, praise the Lord. With our devotion, our continued devotion, not just a one-time Sunday morning type of devotion, but a living 24/7 type of devotion. With our obedience, this is how we prove to him that we are worthy of his praise. It's because of our obedience. And he gave us that promise. If you obey, I will bless you. Let's not forget that. With our minds, to take that mental understanding, there is a God, and he is real, and he will praise me if I do his will. And I, in turn, should recognize him and give him praise and glory. And we need to do so from the heart. Because so many times in the scripture we find out that people were just doing things, their hearts weren't in it. Our hearts have to be involved in this praise. It's got to be heartfelt when we speak those words, when we think those words. When we raise up in the morning and see the nice blue sky, thank you, Lord, for another day. We might complain about the humidity later on in the day, but while we got the chance, let's praise him for a new day. Now, do we praise God as we should? Each person has to answer that question. Answer it for yourself. Do I praise God as I should? Do you praise God privately? In the privacy of your own home, as you sit down and say your prayers, do you praise God? Sometimes our prayers are just, okay, forgive me if I've sinned, Lord, and take care of all my friends who are sick and take care of them. Thank you. Amen. If you used to go back and examine all the prayers of the Bible, one of the most important things you would see in a prayer is basically the attention getter. That's what I call it. Daniel chapter 9, Nehemiah chapter 1, as they came up, they didn't start off saying, okay, look at me, Lord, I'm talking. No. You are almighty, great, and awesome. You are totally awesome, God. Now, do you think that catches his attention? It would mine. If someone came up and said, man, you are absolutely great. You're fantastic. Maybe in your field of work, you're doing, man, I can't believe how good you are at what you do. Believe me, that catches my attention. All of us feel that way. When someone praises us, we feel that way. Give praise to God and get his attention. He's going to listen anyway, but still, it'd be nice. Because he'd like to hear that attaboy every now and then. He's so busy keeping all this crazy world together. He needs that attaboy, God. You're doing good. Do you praise God publicly? Like I said, most of us, we have no problem doing it when we're singing the songs that talk about praising his name. What are other ways we can use to praise him publicly? Reading of the Psalms is just another way. Just to get the idea, I just have to sometimes picture the mentality of the person who would write such thing as a psalm. How deeply devoted and committed they were to the Lord. To have the honesty of the words that they selected to use. Just amazing. Public reading of the scripture is a way we can do that. Or do you just praise him in church? Hopefully this lesson has been an encouragement that'll get you up and last night to encourage you to share the gospel message. Take time to praise him in public. Sometimes when we gather together as members and we decide to go to a restaurant or something, we'll stop and say a prayer before we eat. And it's good. We are showing him honor and glory by doing so. We're setting an example for others. We're not doing it to get everybody, hey, look at them, they're religious people. That should never be our intention in our service. Hey, look at him, he's very religious. The scriptures talk about those people. The self-abasement and self-deprivation, as we read there in Colossians chapter 2. No, we're not to be doing those things. So that's our lesson. Will you praise the Lord? Praise the Lord in song. Praise the Lord in your words, in your conversation with others. Praise the Lord in all that you do. consider those thoughts and just ask yourself, what more can I do to praise the Lord? That's our lesson for this evening. We want to encourage everyone to be mindful of the invitation that is always given. If someone needs to respond by saying that maybe I haven't been cutting it, I need help. That's what we're here for as a congregation. We're here to help each other. Help each other get to heaven. And the best way to do that is to learn from His Word and share His Word with others. Consider those thoughts, and the invitation is yours while together we stand and sing.